Welcome to the Spike Feed, your leading Magic the Gathering podcast. What is up? My name is Curtis, just your typical Spike. On the line with me, the V-neck is back, baby. It's Cameron McCoy, producer extraordinaire. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How about you?
Good. I think we need a little button on our website that is just V-next. You know how like Magic Online has a server status? We just need V-next status.
Yeah, I kind of like that. Yeah.
So today, we're just going to kind of talk about the various states of various formats. We're not going to do a fantasy PT this week, or I'm sorry, for this Pro Tour, because it is next week, but it is Modern. So I feel a little strange about making it a fantasy Pro Tour and picking cards that we'll see play. Because I feel like we know.
Probably, yeah.
But I want to kind of start with you because you've been playing this new standard. I haven't touched new standard yet. So what's your thoughts, man?
So right now I'm feeling very positive about standard. I should say this week I'm feeling very positive about standard.
That's fair.
So I ran through two leagues, and I will talk about Mardu Vehicles first. And Mardu Vehicles is back. It is, I mean, Heart of Kirin, Aether Sphere. I mean, like, all of that stuff is still there and still very, very, very good. And I actually did really well. So I went 4-1. I felt like I just had, like, really good draws. Like, I don't know. Like, you know, it would go, I'm trying to think, like, Veteran Motorist right into a Heart of Kirin and then be able to just kind of deal with that. And if that opponent didn't have a Braid or something like that, I'm very easily going to win.
Mm-hmm.
So really good. Like I just had some really, really good draws. Some things of note, Grixis Energy is there. I don't feel like, I feel like I'm having an easier time playing against Grixis Energy than I was against Temur Energy. And I don't know if that's just because I feel like it doesn't feel like they're going as wide as they were before. Like without Long Tusk Cub and the blue green, I can't remember the other.
What's a much more control centric deck, right?
It is. It feels much more control centric. So, like, you know, the Scarab God is really kind of like the crux of that deck, I feel like. Mono Red is still Mono Red. Like, I don't feel like Ruminop nerfed that deck at all. Like, I mean, it gives it some game here, you know, in the late game or whatever. But honestly, like, that deck is still extremely fast. And, like, if you don't have the right amount of fatal pushes, they're gonna get ahead, right? Mm-hmm. So that deck is still there. And the other one that I saw a lot of was the either Esper or Blue-Black God Pharaoh's Gift deck, which I still love. I think that's a really fun, interesting, mid-rangey sort of deck. But yeah, I think a lot of people, it's a legit good deck, and a lot of people are playing that and having some really good success with that. But that's what I saw with Mardu Vehicles. I really like that deck. If I was going to be playing something in paper, I feel like that's the deck that I would be playing. I really like the aggro nature of that, and it has some long game with like the really good removal spells. You're playing some of the best removal, I think, out of standard right now with Mardu. The other deck that I played against and just completely whiffed on was Green Red Monsters. This is like the new up and coming deck, right? The one that I would say is got the most spice as far as like new cards in it. Holy cow! So did we talk about Jade Light Ranger in a review?
Yes.
We did,
yes,
right?
Yes, and we were both positive on it.
Yeah, and I am, like, amplified in my positivity of that card. Mm-hmm. The double explore mechanic is just stupid good. Like, super, super fun and busted and absurd and, yeah, not busted, I guess, but it's fun. It's super fun. Rekindling Phoenix, I really like. Like, I think that card, it feels a lot like the Phoenix from the Theros blocks. I can't remember which that one was. Chandra's Phoenix, maybe. Mm-hmm. It just has some really good recurring. I don't know. I really, really like that. And the stupid, stupid dinosaur, Galta Prime Hunger or Galta Primal Hunger, which is like the 12-12 trample, which if they can't deal with that, it's just, it's over and it's hilarious. I ended up going 1-4 with Green Red Monsters. This is in a friendly league, and I just, I punted so many games. I think just because, I don't know. I'm just not totally okay. I don't know. Like, you're running like abrades and magma sprays and some lightning strikes for like your removal. And I sometimes just felt like that wasn't enough for me. Like, and I'm just sometimes, I want to be on more of the mid-range end rather than the aggro end, I guess, of standard decks, or just decks in general. But yeah, man, I don't know. Like, I punted so many games where like I had Aronus in hand and for some reason just hit pass and didn't cast that like one game. You know, this things like that were just stupid mistakes. The deck is great, so I can't like really put like my poor performance in line with like how this deck actually performs because I really, really did poorly with it. But yeah, man, Green Red Monsters is here. I think it's going to stick around, and I think it's going to get tweaked and probably be one of the better decks.
So, Cameron, I need you to play better so I can get more accurate reports on these decks. So we just discussed this before we went on. I'm really struggling with what to play in Standard. So because of my job, I tend to play non-rotating formats during the wintertime because I'm very irregular. And then in the summertime, I play Standard a lot. Like, that's the season of Curtis. And sometimes I play Standard and Modern in the same week, et cetera.
Sure.
I had Rug Energy. It got banned out. Fine, whatever. And then I thought, okay, well, I'll just jump to Grixis Energy. Problematically, I don't own any Scarab Gods, and I don't want to drop a ton of money on Scarab Gods and Torrential Gear Hulks and then have that deck rotate 2 months after I'm done with it.
Yeah.
And so the decks that are the most quote-unquote rotation-proof are Green Red Monsters and Merfolk. And it's like, ugh. honestly, Green Red Monsters is probably more my style. I did play Green Red Monsters in Theros Block, and I had a good time with it. That kind of like dirtily green deck is very much where I live. And so I would be interested in playing it, but again, it's not something that I'm in a hurry to acquire. Mm-hmm. Though weirdly, I bought Glintsleeve Siphoners last night, so I don't know what I'm doing. Anyway, so last night I played Modern, Grixis Death Shadow. So nice. I had been slowly accumulating the pieces. I'd played it here and there over the past month, but I had kind of cheated on the mana. I didn't have the full deck. I was missing like three fetch lands and like a Fatal Push and an Opt, like just weird stuff. And so finally those eBay orders came in. And I have the full ready to go tune based on Magic Online results, Grixis Death Shadow deck. So long story short is I didn't drop a match. Cameron, the deck is really good. And here's what I like about it. And this, because I know we have Legacy listeners out there. If you are a Legacy player, this is the one for you. Because your decisions actually matter. The skill ceiling is really high. And I misplay with the deck all the time. I was playing against Scapeshift, and I fetched the wrong land, and I died because of it.
No.
You know? Yeah. And that is just not an experience that happens in Modern, like, ever. A lot of times, what you're doing is not super... it's so linear that it doesn't matter. And it also helped me diversify because, you know, hey, I play Storm probably 70% of the time I've played Modern. And while I like that deck a lot, the bannings are always looming overhead. And with this upcoming Pro Tour, I'm very concerned that if there are even three Storm decks in the top eight, like, or top performers, we're going to see some kind of change.
Yeah.
And, I mean, clearly they're not worried about banning things.
Yeah.
And whereas Grixis Death Shadow, I think, is relatively safe. I think the one card that is most likely to go out of that deck is Street Wraith, which is a completely messed up card. Like,
yeah,
it's basically a detection probe. Yeah. I turned one a Death Shadow because of chaining Street Wraith last night. So it can do some really obscene things.
Yeah.
It's good. And the one thing that I'm really interested in with the deck is how many Fatal Pushes versus how many Lightning Bolts. Right now I'm playing all four Fatal Pushes and some number of Lightning Bolts main, like two. Because I ran into these weird issues where I would have to bolt myself to save my Death Shadow.
Sure.
Which is pretty fun. But I ended up playing against Mono Green Devotion, Scapeshift, Mono Blutron.
Yeah, man, we should talk about that deck. Yeah,
it's out there.
It is out there. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it completely, but it exists, which is interesting.
If I'm being fair, the guy didn't really get to do his thing. He kind of mulliganed to six, and then I running thought seized him.
Okay.
So nothing real. The matchup, nothing really came out of it. You know what I mean? It's kind of like his deck didn't do its thing. And then the most probably interesting interactive matchup I played against was the Hollow One deck. Have you played against Burning Inquiry?
I haven't. Cameron? No, I don't know. No.
One red mana. Each player draws three cards and then discards three at random. I hate that card. Yeah. I hate that card because while I did win the matchup, it is totally capable of making you discard your lands on turn one.
Yeah.
And really stunned that they let that one see print. But, you know, hey, it's a really cool deck. I don't know if you've seen it in operation, but it's kind of like Dredge Light. It's got a little bit more. It's not all in on the graveyard the way Dredge is, but it's super fun. Anyway, Cameron, I'm going to hit you with a thought experiment. All right?
Okay.
We'll talk about it right after this. All right, Cameron, kind of an abbreviated middle segment this week. There's not a ton of news to discuss. I mean, I think the most interesting thing is the promo Flooded Strand that you're after.
Oh, man. Am I ever. Like, what would be the price of a promo Flooded Strand like that?
Well, they're giving it out at Nationals, so I would assume it's not obscene, but it's probably expensive-ish.
Yeah, yeah.
It is
probably
a foil,
the cost,
correct?
Of like a good two standard decks, right?
Yeah, I don't know that standard right now is the good measure of what the cost of a standard deck is. But yeah, I mean, Cameron, just reaching that, we got tweeted at this, like just reaching that closet full of money, Cameron, you know, where you buy your 8K monitors but refuse to buy a bigger than 720p television. You know, it's fine. It's fine, Cameron. But here's what I want to talk about. And this kind of just came up last night. So just to set the scene, I'm at a Modern tournament. And I had a lot of people that were down on Modern there. Now, granted, these are Modern or down on Standard. These are Modern players, and that's kind of their fun thing to do is, oh, look at silly Standard getting banned again and all this sort of stuff. But we see this across the SCG circuit. You see it at your Friday Night Magics, where Modern has now gotten to this stage where it is competing, if not surpassing Standard for popularity. So here was the thing that struck me, and I kind of wanted your opinion and us to talk this through. What if we woke up, we quantum leapt, okay, into Earth 2, and Modern and Standard have swapped places,
okay,
meaning that Modern is the premier format for Pro Tours. We just have one Standard Pro Tour and three Modern Pro Tours. Modern is the promoted format of Friday Night Magic. Modern are the promos that we... Oh, wait. We don't get promos for Friday Night Magic. You see what I'm saying, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In this Earth 2, we still get those. How's that? Good or bad or what? Because I think a lot of Modern players would hear what's coming out of my mouth and go, yes, that is definitely the thing I want.
I'd rather jump to Earth 3 where it's Legacy instead of Modern.
me too.
No. That is a interesting, because it almost kind of exists that way in some ways, except for like the full-on support that you're getting from Wizards. The level of excitement and enthusiasm and interest and discussion that happens on a Friday night with Modern and people just discussing decks and talking about the new and up-and-coming ones, and the format doesn't seem to be solved at all. All of that stuff like makes me think, like, yeah, that would be kind of interesting if like this non-rotating format was the premier thing. At the same time, that I just like, that's just never going to happen, right? I mean, Wizards isn't going to be making money except for Modern Masters 4 or whatever it is, where they're printing the cards and then making them, right? Like the money from all that stuff is happening on the secondary market, people reselling and trading. And that just doesn't make sense financially on Wizards' standpoint. And I just don't know what incentive would Wizards ever have to make Modern the deck, the format of choice.
So in this fictional world, and again, I'm going to play the pro-modern person.
Okay.
It's going to be hard. This is going to require some serious method acting.
I like it.
But what if they warped their product line in that direction too? Meaning you have multiple Modern Masters sets in a year, or you print sets that are exclusively filled with modern legal cards. I think someone like you or I would love for Force of Will to be modern legal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it would actually be busted in standard either, but whatever. Mm-hmm. But they're never going to print Force of Will in standard. I think we can agree on that. So putting Force of Will like in a modern legal set, right? Warping your product line in that way. So it could be done to make it more commercially viable for them. However, your point stands in that you're not cycling through cards. Like there's no, like once you have your modern deck, you're not incentivized to purchase boxes at the same rate, right?
No. Yeah.
I mean, I think the other weird problem with this scenario is likely would get solved. Not just because of the amount of modern matches would go up, but also the amount of pros playing modern would actually be actively bad for the format. If you're talking about three pro tours, the best deck is going to be pretty limited, and the release of anything new would really stifle innovation, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're also talking about a barrier to entry that is theoretically higher. Now, how the market would change based upon all these like hypotheticals, we could never really fully nail down, but you're still talking about a starting point in terms of deck cost that's hundreds of dollars more than a standard deck, right?
Yeah.
I guess what we have to get to here is the heart of why modern has taken off, right? And I think it is because a standard has been a nice way of saying it would be unstable.
Mm-hmm.
And modern provides stability, but also your audience is aging up. I would love to know what their demographics are. But the older you get, the less likely you are to have to keep up with what's going on in standard week to week, right?
For sure, for sure.
Okay, back on our Earth, Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
What should WotC do? Should if you are in that CEO spot, do you increase the visibility for modern? Like, Legacy's ship has sailed. I mean, they're never going to do anything with it, and that sucks, and that's bad. But clearly, they're not interested. But you are CEO Cameron McCoy.
Yeah.
You wear cashmere V-necks now. What do? You increase modern events? Or are you going to keep trying to kind of push standard?
Oh, you know, that's so tough. Because, like, if we're on our Earth right now and, like, and I'm wanting to do that, I feel like there is a way, and I feel like maybe WotC is doing that. I mean, like, standard has been lackluster in like decks and design, in like just bannings and all of that stuff. And it's hard to keep up. For me, it is, right? I mean, like, I can do that online, but to like just constantly have to binder grind and trade and do all that stuff that I need to do in order to be like a competitive standard player, it's not something for me, right? I mean, I don't want to try to keep up like that. And that's the reason why I've been going to non-rotating formats so much in paper. I'm trying to think if there's a way for them to keep... the modern enthusiasm is just going to exist, I think. But you're right. As like people age up, they're just aging up with their cards, right? And it's like, well, I just had this stuff from 4 years ago when I was playing standard. And look at that. Like, half of that stuff is modern playable. I don't know what the solution is as far as, like, I guess if modern needs to be the premier format. And in a ways, I feel like it shouldn't be. I think the community excitement is awesome and great, but as soon as Wizards starts throwing their support and weight into, like, making it, like, the premier thing, you're right. Things are going to get solved. Things are going to get, like, maybe out of whack as far as, like, pricing and whatnot, and you're going to lose your player base that is like really dedicated to limited and trading into standard. It's probably never going to get solved.
Yeah, and you're right. Limited is kind of the X factor, like there are people that draft a lot and Standard is very necessary for them as a good outlet. But I should say this, like just because Modern is in a balanced place right now, that is not any kind of guarantee going forward of where Modern could be. But also I think people have to temper their excitement for the format in that I'm not convinced Modern, like, look, we, and it was starting to die down when we started this podcast, but there was a point where Legacy was in a huge upswing in the same way that Modern is now.
Mm-hmm. You could call it the golden age. Yeah.
Yeah. Where, an Underground C went from $100 to $300 in the course of what, a year and a half or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that ended up putting so much pressure that it affected things. Now, obviously, they're willing to reprint Modern cards, so we don't have that same exact issue. But again, I'm not convinced that Arena or a new, younger, hot new, young format will come around and make Modern go into that same spot.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if we just want to wheel around to what I think is the actual problem is banning Standard cards, that just has to stop soon.
Yeah.
Because that is what's killing your enthusiasm. And, you know, you have this young crop of Modern players that haven't experienced bans in the same way. I know it's weird to think because I associate bans with Modern, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But because it's been relatively stable, it's a different worldview. So,
you know, it's interesting. I almost feel like... them just printing like one insanely busted card for Standard is sometimes to the point where it's not going to dominate, I guess. But I just look at something like Theros Block, I know wasn't like great, but you had Mutavault and you had Thoughtseize. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like that drove so much enthusiasm for Standard in some ways. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't know, but I think like them printing something like Force of Will or some legacy playable card that's just like, why would they ever put that in Standard? And they actually put that in Standard could really drive Standard in a way. I don't know. I mean, it could just get banned and like we're in the same spot that we
are. Well, no,
at
I
the
mean,
same time.
Your point holds with the cons fetches, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. That's a good example right there.
I feel like you were dancing around the best example with your other
examples.
That
is the best example, yes.
But yeah, you're spot on, dude. Like, here's how I have to put this. We have to have a thriving Standard for Magic to work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I would not point to Theros as like, this is the one. And we had a very long discussion at the card shop about this last night. A guy that works at the card shop says, there should just be no more data. That WotC should only talk to stores, not print any more Magic Online data, and see what the feedback is from the store. He's like, because here, Standard was doing just fine. And now you have people that have a deck band and they're irritated. And and Mono Red won like straight away, I guess, the first FNM that they had post-ban. And there was kind of a frustration among the player base with that. Again, this is all secondhand stuff, so I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, Old Man Curtis just says, we should just grin and bear it, man. I've been through Standards I don't know how many times where there was the one defining deck.
Mm-hmm.
And we just, you know, we went uphill both ways,
yeah,
at 5 a.m. and we played through fairies, man, and we played through Jund.
Yeah.
And eventually, sometimes, decks break through, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to play Historian too much, and maybe Rug Energy would have never, ever, ever gotten figured out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, fairies got broken by five-color control, which is the weirdest... like way to solve that problem, but it worked out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jund was unthinkably dominant, and then people started playing, you know, Noble Hierarch Mythic Bant, and it just kind of went over the top. So eventually, mm-hmm, these things can get solved, and that's what I would have preferred they've done, but, you know, hey, here we are.
Here we are.
All right, Cameron, so we are going to cut this off. We are going to come back, talk a little movies and video games. We'll be right back. All right, Cameron. Relatively quick show this week. You've been watching some things, right? You've been catching up on all your Oscar buzz, on your streaming.
Yeah.
What have you been watching?
Yeah, so this week, Steph and I, my wife, we watched this little film called Ingrid Goes West. And it's it's on Hulu now. It was released over the, I think, in like the, maybe like May or whatever. It is a dark comedy, so keep that in mind. I really enjoy dark comedies. Like, I know that's not like for everybody. Some people are like really turned off by that. But this is all about kind of social media, Instagram, and you know, a little bit touching on like what that does to you as a person, and how you put weight in all this stuff into your Instagram persona, mm-hmm. and how that is what matters more than just kind of living life in some ways. It is very, very funny. It is very, very dark. The guy who played Ice Cube in Straight Out of Compton, who is, I think, Ice Cube's son, mm-hmm. is in this movie, and he is incredible. And okay. you would like this, Curtis, just because the guy, he's a screenwriter, but he only writes Batman scripts, and he's never gotten anything sold. And he's obsessed with Batman.
That's awesome.
to the point where, like, there's, like, some really, really funny things that happen because of that. But it's just so funny to see this guy that, like, he's having, like, a table read, and, you know, he needs somebody to read as Catwoman, and he's, like, doing all these great things as like, wanting to be Batman. And that actually kind of plays within the social media stuff and, like, you know, creating identities and, like, how those identities shape who you are and whatnot. I don't know. I really like this movie. In fact, I think it's like up there now. If I've like I have to rank stuff in for 2017, I think I need like a year to be removed. Think of everything. This might be on there as like for me as far as like one of those movies that's just it's not amazing. It's not like you know like a stunning directorial debut or anything like that. But it was just really interesting characters and dealing with stuff that's very near to me as far as like what social media is and how it shapes and identifies people. So highly recommend. I'll just say that.
Cool. Yeah, I saw that it was on Hulu, and yeah, I'm interested to see it. It's weird to think, and I know we're sounding like old men again. It's weird to think that people make their living on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, those people have a ton of influence and power, you know. And
for sure,
you know, if you follow all the YouTube controversies with Logan Paul and Jake Paul and all that stuff, it's a frightening dystopian world that no one predicted.
Right?
So, you know, yeah. except for, I guess, Idiocracy, which...
Yeah.
Okay, well, Cameron, let's get back to distractions and not think about the horrors of the real world, okay?
Yeah.
That's what this show's all about. Hey, so I briefly mentioned it. I didn't realize that Blade Runner 2049 and Sicario had the same director until I finished Sicario.
Oh.
I mentioned that I was watching one after the other, and it was just kind of a happy coincidence. Boy, I really like Sicario, but boy, do I have some issues with that.
Yeah. Two-thirds of that movie is brilliant in my mind. The last third starts to break down.
I feel like taking Emily Blunt's character out of it, while I understand the message that they were trying to convey of helplessness, I think it was fraught with... kind of a problematic depiction of the lone female character in that.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, it kind of turns into spy awesome.
Yeah.
At the end. And it's just kind of like, I feel like we lost the main narrative thrust here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Benicio del Toro, I have such a look, I really like him as an actor, but sometimes he's a little too Benicio del Toro.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, we talked about this in Star Wars, right? Yeah.
Star Wars is a problem. This is a problem, and it kind of feels like you waste Emily Blunt's performance.
Yeah.
By the end of it. Visually stunning, though. Anyway, I want to talk about, Nier Automata, you are kind of playing. I just picked it up last night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very interested to see where that goes.
Yeah, man.
But Street Fighter V.
Okay.
Cameron. So Street Fighter V, if you bought it digitally, you got the free update of Street Fighter Arcade Edition, which you can also buy as a physical copy, which is the big update. And for those of you who don't know, Street Fighter V kind of got critically panned because it did not really contain hardly any single player content.
Okay.
It was much more of a esport driven version of Street Fighter, very online centric, and while that's great, if you are not a good Street Fighter player, like yours truly, but you really enjoy fighting games, it kind of wore thin, right? Like, and so with this new release, they added a story mode somewhere in between there, and now they're adding the arcade mode with this release, okay? And I'm going to give you the pitch, and you're going to say, oh, that sounds really cool. Whenever you pick a character to play in arcade mode, they will let you play through the arcade version of Street Fighter 1, Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter Alpha, Street Fighter 3. And so basically they give you kind of a Cliff Notes version of what happened in that story, and you get to play the fighter roster through what would have been that Street Fighter. So when you click on Street Fighter 2's narrative, you go through Ryu's, because of course I play Ryu, because what am I, an idiot?
Yeah.
And you get to go through his like campaign, and you think, oh man, that sounds fabulous. And again, in the fighting game community, Street Fighter's lost a lot of mindshare because of how bad this release is. Like, Tekken started to pick up ground. Dragon Ball Z's apparently released an amazing fighter this week. But it still has all this competitive window dressing that's really crappy. Like, I have to pay to buy certain characters. Like, it's a League of Legends thing. Or grind for currency. And the arcade menu, or the arcade balance is bad. And Street Fighter struggled with this in the past. Of, I beat everybody in the campaign almost always at perfect on normal. Like, just crushed him. And then I get to the final boss and I cannot win. Like, I'm winning and playing and, you know, doing all this stuff, just playing normally. And then I get to M. Bison and he 9-hit combo kills me. And I'm just like, what? And so they still, it's still not tuned properly. And it's still way more of an esports game. And it's incredibly disappointing. And I also don't really like Street Fighter V's art style compared to previous. Like, I like the Alpha more anime style. So if you are a single player fighting game guy, and I know you're out there because you're like me, this is not it, man. It's such a bummer.
Yeah. Sounds like you need to play ARMS.
Cameron, when you wake up in the morning, I mean, do you like have like a Nintendo shrine that you pray to first? Because here's what I'm looking forward to this year, okay? Is I think Nintendo, this is my own estimation, I think Nintendo's lineup is going to be straight up bad. It's going to be a bunch of last-gen refreshes.
Yep.
We got our Mario. We got our Zelda. We fired the two bullets in the gun.
Yep. And now you wait 3 years.
And now, I mean, it is going to be like, hey, how'd you feel about Bayonetta? You know? Want to play more Bayonetta? And I'm interested to see how much of these things you buy.
Yeah. I will say, like, as long as they keep the stream of, like, indie small games going, the way that I wanted the PlayStation Vita to have just a stream constantly going, I'll be okay. Like, I don't need the first-party Nintendo, you know, launch games every single month or whatever. But if I get things like Stardew Valley once a month or every other month, you know, on that, I'm good. Like, and I get a little portable thing, especially this summer when I'm traveling a lot. That's all I need.
Man, when you sit down and look at this year's releases, it is an exercise in brutality for both Xbox and Nintendo.
Yeah.
There is a nothing. Nothing for both of those consoles. God of War's April Hunt for Sony.
Yeah.
Spider-Man's likely this summer. Shadow of Colossus re-release in 4K is next month. Like, it is going to be, I mean,
but dude, how do you come off of 2017, right? After like the insanity of like every single week having something that was like game of the year material, I don't know. I just don't see how you can like follow that up in 2018. Even Sony, like, I mean, there's like some exciting things coming out, but man, I don't know. It's hard to come off of 2017.
I just think that with Sony, and look, I own all three consoles. I hope they all release good games. But Sony has this massive ball rolling, right? I think it's like they have 40 more million units than Xbox worldwide right now. Like, that is a significant chunk of change that they're able to just plug in and invest. And there's some things that we had no idea about last year, like Nier Automata, like Neo, that we didn't even realize are exclusives. I mean, did you know Street Fighter V is exclusive to PlayStation 4?
Nope.
I mean, it is, but like, it's just like that. Like, they are just throwing their money around. And I mean, Nintendo could theoretically get to this, but I guarantee you, man, if you are a third-party developer, like if you're EA, you're like, how do we get Mass Effect on this system? Mm-hmm. And that's just what you're going to do is you're going to port Mass Effect, print money, put in no effort. It is the lowest, lowest investment, highest return thing you could possibly do. And so, I mean, look, I like my Switch, but I'm basically going to own one Switch game at a time. Mm-hmm, it's going to be me. Like, I'm going to play Skyrim probably for this entire year.
Sure.
So, I mean, we'll see. I don't know if you saw what Xbox is doing, but they're in such a dire strait with their exclusives that they, if you pay for their $10 a month thing, you get every new exclusive the day it comes out.
Okay.
So their pirate game, Sea of Thieves, if you just pay $10 that month for their service, you just get to download it for as long as you have. Like, so that's pretty aggressive, right?
That's very
I hope it works out for them. But yeah. I saw that and I was like, oh, that's cool. Still not doing it.
Yeah.
Anyway, hopefully next week we can talk more about Nier Automata. But Cameron, if anyone would like to talk to you about standard video games or Instagram and becoming an Instagram star. Cameron, what if your Instagram account was nothing but V-necks? Like, there's not even
that's
your face.
Brilliant. In. You know what? I think that will happen. Cameron V-neck on Instagram. We'll see if that handle exists.
All right, man. Yeah.
Otherwise, Twitter at Cameron _ McCoy.
And if you would like to talk to me about not buying Merfolk, please God, or anything else we discussed this week, I'm at Curtis Now. Our official show feed is at SpikeBeatMTG. We will check you guys next week.